It is the Paul Zeiss Show, brought to you by Solomon Auto Group and Archie's on the South Side. In true Paul fashion, I don't know what to call this show. Like, if you hear Paul on the late shift, is it the late shift or is it the Paul Zeiss Show? So I'm going to go with the Paul Zeiss Show featuring Craig Riley in for Paul tonight. Talk Pirates in that first hour. We're going to talk some more Pirates later. But first, I get to bring in Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Ray, thanks so much for joining me.
Craig, how's it going?
Good. Hoping to live up to the expectations of a Paul Zeiss interview here with you. So we'll see how that goes. You can grade me at the end of it.
Those are high expectations.
Well, Ray, I'll admit, first off, I'm a sucker for the type of article you wrote today. I love the, like, storylines heading into camp. This immediately caught my attention, and I love the stuff that you wrote about it. Where I sort of want to start here is, and Ray wrote about the five storylines to watch. Check that out at thepostgazette.com. But something I want to talk about this hour, so I want to get into it with you first, is Mike Tomlin's future in the contract situation. I feel like all of camp, until one way or the other that is resolved, that will be the big storyline of it. Are you in the camp of Tomlin is likely to get an extension, or how do you think that shakes out here?
Well, I think you're right. I think that is the top storyline, and there's only one person who really knows what's going to happen, and that's Art Rooney II. And there might be one, two, maybe three people who, you know, might have some influence on that decision, you know, might have his ear on that situation. But if Art wants to extend them, he's going to extend them. The only thing I could say, Craig, is if you look at the way the 2017 season ended, not only the loss to Jacksonville in the playoffs, but, you know, the Tony Dungy interview, and there's a lot of other stuff going on. The players were opening their mouths and talking, and they weren't able to back it up. And then on the heels of that, you go through everything you went through in 2018. This doesn't seem like the time for a contract extension. So I'm just looking at it from a common sense, you know, football operational perspective. It doesn't make sense for Art to extend Mike now, but we all know the Steelers do things a certain way. They always extend their head coaches with 2 years left. So if Art wants him to be the head coach into the long-term future, it's going to happen. I'm just telling you right now, it doesn't seem like a contract extension is warranted.
I totally agree with you on the common sense approach to that. That, I mean, why go out and do that when you have so many questions you want answered? If there's even one question about whether or not you want to bring Mike Tomlin back, wait and see. And one of the reasons I have that outlook on it is, like you mentioned, the stuff that happened back in 2017, the way the players were acting under him, it feels to me like they sort of wiped the slate clean. I mean, Antonio Brown gone, Le'Veon Bell gone. You're trying to give this new feel to the team of, we're not going to be about the drama. We're here for football. We're going to be a team again, like you used to think of the Steelers. So I would almost use this as the year to say, all right, Mike, you had all those problems. Whether you created them or not, personally, I think he created some of those with Antonio Brown. But they could tell him, we're going to give you a do-over on that. The slate has been wiped clean. Let's see what you do with this team now. And if we don't like the way it goes after this year, then we're going to have a real decision to make going into that last year of the contract.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that would be, that's certainly one avenue that the Steelers could explore. Knowing that, though, and knowing the kind of pressure that would put on not only his football team, but on the head coach himself, you know, that would be a big thing. If there's no contract extension in July or August, then we sort of know Mike Tomlin's future hinges on, you know, what happens during the 2019 season. Maybe that's a good thing, or there's also the possibility that can really go bad and, you know, things could unravel too. So, you know, Art's the guy who's going to make that call. He's got a great feel, you know, for what that organization needs. But I agree with you, Craig. I think that would be a very logical, you know, avenue to go down if, you know, if you're Art Rooney.
Talking with Steelers beat writer for the Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo. And Ray, what you said there really lands home with me about it could create pressure on him with just a year to go, or to say to him, basically, this year you need to prove it. But you know what? If I'm going to tie myself to this guy for X number of years again and trust him with what I go into every year as a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, well, then maybe I don't want a guy that lets that pressure influence him. And if he cracks under it, so be it. At least I've learned something about the guy. Maybe that influences the decision as well.
Yeah, and listen, you know, when you said they tried to wipe the slate clean, you're right. I mean, they got rid of the biggest problem. That was Antonio Brown. I think we all know that, you know, Le'Veon Bell and some other star players, you know, received special treatment over the years. I don't know if Mike is going to totally go away from that. He's always said that, you know, special players, you know, receive special treatment. But I can't imagine he would go down the same road with his next star player, let's say Juju Smith-Schuster, and allow some of, you know, the same things to take place that he did with Antonio Brown. So I agree with you. I think the biggest problem has been eliminated, and I think it's going to be it's going to be much easier for Mike Tomlin to steer that ship. But as you point out, this is a big year for him to prove it. There's a lot of people, not only fans, who are watching how he's going to perform this year.
Ray, you pointed out Kevin Colbert's contract situation as well, and pointed out that shortly after the season ends, he turns 63. Kevin Colbert is so different to me than any other guy in his position, and maybe any sport, but especially football. Do you think he is a lifer, or do you think at a certain point, even if things are going well and the future looks great for them, he may just say, like, you know what, I've had my run, I'm good here, I want to live out, I want to live some other parts of my life here still?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's been in charge of Steelers personnel since 2000. He's won a couple of Super Bowls. He's been to another. I know he's deeply disappointed in the way the last couple of seasons, you know, have ended. And I'm sure he'd like to go out, you know, on a great note, whether that's this year or 3, 5, 7 years from now. You know, he's still, you know, very fit, very, I don't want to say very young, but he's still very fit for his age. And, you know, I could see him going on, but his contract is up after 2020. And this is nowhere near the situation that we got done talking about with Mike Tomlin. I mean, I think if Kevin Colbert wants to keep working, I think it's going to be his call. You know, I think Art will have him for as many years as he'd like to, you know, be the GM of this team. I just think, you know, you're getting close to retirement age. It's going to come sooner rather than later. And I think now it's just a matter of when he wants to pick his time to go out. Is it this year after the draft in 2020, or does he want another, you know, 3, 5 years to sort of, you know, see this thing off, you know, in the right manner?
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining me. Check out his article on the Post-Gazette website. Steelers training camp 2019, 5 storylines to watch. And if it wasn't, Ray, for the Tomlin contract situation, the big thing usually heading in is, who will get a contract extension? They always identify, or it's easily identified, the players that they're looking at. You mentioned here Hayden, Sean Davis, and Hargrave. What do you think the outlook is for each of those guys and the likelihood that something maybe gets done for them?
Yeah, I mean, to me, they have to do Hayden. They didn't take a corner in this year's draft. I don't think they were in love with any of the first-round corners. So, they took a pass this year. And if you look at the depth behind the starters, behind Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson, it's not great. So I know it's going to cost money. You know, you're talking about extending him through his years, 31, 32, maybe 33. So, you know, I don't know. Fair price might be, you know, $12 million a year. If you do another 2 or 3 year deal, I think that would be fair for both sides. But for me, he's priority number one, not only in terms of what he can do for this defense, but just in terms of what they have behind them, because, it's, you know, quite frankly, it's not very much.
So looking at some other things you wrote about here, and Ray Fittipaldo joining me, Craig Riley filling in for Paul Zeiss, the overhaul of the defense, and I loved what you wrote about each move that he made. They got faster and faster and faster with each of them. Do you think that's going to make a huge difference in terms of production? What is your level expectation heading into the season for this defense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I wrote, Craig, you know, statistically across the board in the three major categories, they're defined as a top 10 defense. But when I look at it as a beat reporter, and I'm sure some Steelers fans probably feel the same way, that didn't look like a top 10 defense to me. So for me, when you add that speed and you add that athleticism, it's the takeaways. And I noted that they were 29th in takeaways last year. They've been deficient in that area for years. So if you get faster, you get a guy that, you know, could come off the edge on a blitz and get a strip sack, or you get a guy who can drop into coverage and pick off a pass over the middle. I think those are the types of things that Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin wanted to add this offseason, and I think they did that. Now it's just a matter of, you know, is Devin Bush going to be up to speed early enough for him to make an impact early in the season? Is Mark Barron going to be that guy who could take over for Morgan Burnett? Is Steven Nelson going to be able to pick up where he left off last year in Kansas City and be a productive guy who got four picks? I don't know the answers to any of that questions, but on paper, I like this defense a lot more than I like the one that finished last season.
Talking with Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette here, the article he wrote on the Steelers and getting ready for camp here, and just sort of going through it, another thing that really stood out to me, Ray, was the kicking situation in Boswell. Now, there's two guys I want to talk about that I think are both confidence-related, Chris Boswell and Artie Burns. We'll get to Burns here in a minute. But Boswell has a lot to prove after last year, and they have competition for the job. Do you think they are at the point where they want to replace Chris Boswell? Or, I mean, in an ideal world, they sign him to a deal. They want to see him play that out.
No, I don't think they want to replace him at all, because it's going to be a big salary cap. You know, it's going to be a big hit to their, you know, football operation budget if they do it, even though they're going to save that $2 million that they, you know, that they convinced him to delay until late August. So they want him to be the kicker, but they're not going to be afraid to pull the trigger on Matthew Wright if Matthew Wright proves to be the better kicker throughout training camp and the preseason games. I think it'll be really clear. If you go to the summer practices in Latrobe, if you pay attention to what happens in the preseason games, I think they're going to go with the guy who is the most consistent kicker, you know, for that 4 or 5 week stretch. So, yeah, the pressure is going to be on Chris Boswell, but he's performed under pressure before, and if he gets his head on straight, if he made corrections to whatever was ailing him last year, I think he'll be fine. But I do think he's going to win or lose this job based on performance. And no, I don't think the Steelers are going to be afraid to make that move. If Wright is the better kicker on August 28th or 29th, whenever that deadline is, he's going to be the kicker for the Steelers in 2019.
Speaking of guys that need to figure it out after it went wrong for them last year, I mean, not just last year, Artie Burns, what are their thoughts on him going into camp, and what is a success for him this year? I mean, obviously, it's a success for the team if he figures it all out and looks like the guy that they drafted, but what is realistically, do you think, a good season that Steelers fans could see from Artie Burns?
Yeah, listen, I still think they want Artie Burns to be a productive member of this team. If you go back to the spring, you know, Joe Hayden missed probably 80%, 90% of the OTAs in minicamp, whether it was because he was just away or because they decided to sit him out. And Artie Burns was the guy who was playing with the first-team defense. So their plan right now, if there's an injury to Hayden or to Steven Nelson, is for Artie Burns likely to step in there. And they're going to want to grade him on how he does in the summer, of course, and, of course, the preseason games before they make that final determination. But, you know, what's behind him? You know, are you going to count on Justin Lane, the rookie third-round pick, to take on that role as a rookie? Are you going to count on a guy like Brian Allen, who, you know, went back and forth between the practice squad and the active roster last season? I mean, there aren't many options. So Artie Burns still has to be a guy that they can count on if need be. I just think the biggest hope is, you know, Hayden and Nelson go through the season uninjured, or they don't get banged up a lot, and then Artie Burns is just the guy who can help you on special teams. But right now, he's looking like he's going to be their top reserve at cornerback.
Well, Ray, I said at the beginning of the interview I was hoping to live up to the hype of a Paul Zeiss interview, and you would grade me, so A to B, however, or A to F, however you want to grade it, 1 to 10, how'd it go?
Hey, I don't want to tick off Paul, but, you know.
That's easy to do, so be careful.
A plus, there you go.
Well, Ray, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate the time.
All right, Craig, anytime.
All right, take care, Ray. Pirates, sorry. I'm so used to saying Pirates because that's what I'm doing around here most of the time. Steelers beat writer for the Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo. Great piece in the Post-Gazette. Get yourself ready for camp. Check it out. It has a bunch more than what Ray and I talked about there to give you some previews. He talks more about that defense, striking a balance on offense, the passing game, what they're going to do at running back. A lot to check out there. Give it a read. I think you'll like it. I certainly did. We keep going. Paul Zeiss Show, Craig Riley in for Paul. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorkey, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, with locations in North Huntington and North Hills. You can follow me on Twitter at Craig Riley. Not easily spelled. It's with a K, so try to figure that one out, but see if you can find it. Up next, we're going to keep the Steelers talk going. I want to talk about what Ray and I started with there, Mike Tomlin's future. And a lot of what Ray said made sense because he was using common sense when it comes to how to deal with Mike Tomlin. Now, will the Steelers do that? We'll see, and we'll probably see in pretty short order here. But I'll tell you what I would do with Mike Tomlin's contract, and we'll take your calls on that as well. 412-928-9370. That's still to come here on The Fan. Paul Zeiss does have the best beds on the station. I'll give him that. By far, the best beds on the station. And that comes from a guy who produces one of the shows. So, I mean, sort of like a slight at myself now that I say it out loud that if I want the afternoon show to say they got the best beds, well, then that's sort of on me. But, hey, not my problem right now. I'm hosting the Paul Zeiss Show. Craig Riley in tonight, 6 to 10. We talk some Pirates. We got some Steelers talk going. Want to take your calls, 412-928-9370. You can also text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Had Ray Fittipaldo join us in the last segment. Told you to check out the article he wrote in the Post-Gazette, getting you ready for camp, 5 storylines to watch. And like Ray agreed with me that the big story heading into camp, and it will remain the big story of camp until it is resolved one way or the other, will be Mike Tomlin's contract situation. Now, not saying they're going to fire him and it'll be resolved that way. Either they're going to give him an extension or we're going to get word that the extension is not coming this season. That until one of those two things happen, that's camp this year, everybody. That's what we're in for. What's going to happen to Mike Tomlin? I'll tell you what I think should happen to Mike Tomlin. You don't pay him right now. Current deal, so it's this year, next year. It doesn't expire until after the 2020 season. So, I mean, what do you do with Mike Tomlin then? Well, it's what everybody does. You give him an extension with 1 year left on the deal rather than with two. That's how a lot of teams do it. It's not the way the Steelers do it. I get it. They have their way, the Steelers' way. They extend their coach with 2 years. Well, they're not always going into a situation where you have an answer as to whether or not this is the guy you want to hitch your wagons to. You pay him now, you're paying for past results, and you're going to overpay because of what he'll demand. Mike Tomlin, his agent, whoever's going to negotiate it, well, put him up there with the best of the best in the league because he has Super Bowls. He's done this. He's done that. No losing seasons. But I'm not impressed with what we saw last year. I'm not happy with what we've seen dating back to 2017. I mean, the Jacksonville loss, Ray and I talked about it. I'm not happy with that. I'm not happy how the locker room was out of control. Players doing whatever they wanted. I'm not ready to give that guy an extension. The fear is you wait until after the year, maybe this is what they're thinking, and he has a great season. Then you have to pay him more because you didn't do it now when things are sorted down. Who cares? Relatively speaking, it's an absolute drop in the bucket to pay coaches in the NFL. It's not like it counts. Like you got your salary cap for the players. It's not like, well, we got to be careful. We can only pay this guy, or it's going to do this, and we can't sign this player, or we can't do that. No. Pay him whatever you want. So let's say he has a great season and he demands more money than he would now. Great. He had a great season. Isn't that what you want if you're them? You want your coach to be here forever, over and over again. Contract extension after contract extension after contract extension. So if that's the fear, who cares? Because it means he worked out. It means he had a good season. It means he's worth the extension. He's not right now. So don't give one to him now just because it's what you do. If you have questions, wait and see it through. My fear is you give him a contract now, and what if you miss the postseason again? Or what if they have a losing season? What if another player becomes Antonio Brown? What if another guy pulls a Le'Veon Bell? Well, you gave him a contract extension. You're not going to fire him after this year now. Now you're stuck with the guy. So I'm not tying myself to Mike Tomlin right now. This is not to say Mike Tomlin's a terrible coach. I don't think he's one of the best in all of football. NFL.com did an article ranked the top coaches in the NFL. They had him 9th, if I'm remembering correctly, off the top of my head here. Here, I got the sheet. Belichick, Carroll, Peyton, 1, 2, 3. Andy Reid, 4. Doug Peterson, 5. Sean McVay, 6. Harbaugh, 7. Anthony Lynn of the Chargers, 8, ahead of Mike Tomlin. There he is at number 9. Mike Tomlin's going to cost you a ton of money. But who cares? Like I said, you can pay him whatever you want. Doesn't matter. So what? He has a good season, and you pay him a lot more. Great. That means he had a good season. That means you feel better about giving him the extension. And if it doesn't go well, you fire him with a year left. If they're worried about money and not wanting to pay him and somebody else, it's 1 year. Or you let him play out that year and you get rid of him after. And then people make the argument, oh, well, who out there is better than Mike Tomlin? I don't know the no-name crowd out there, because that's what Mike Tomlin was when they signed him. I mean, I didn't see anybody throwing a parade when they signed Mike Tomlin. Like, oh, we got Mike Tomlin? Oh, wait, we got Mike Tomlin! We did it! Super Bowl! Nobody was doing that when they got Mike Tomlin. People were upset about the guys they didn't sign at that point. This organization, more than any other, has proven they don't miss on head coaches. I am not the least bit worried if they get rid of Mike Tomlin that they're not going to find their next head coach. It's what they do. They do it very rarely, but you know what? They hit 100 or they hit 1,000 when they do it. Want to take your calls, 412-928-9370. You want to talk about anything going into Steelers camp, we'll talk about that. My focus, though, is what the focus of camp will be until it's resolved, that Tomlin contract. It's just not going to go away. We're going to keep talking about it every week. Hey, might get a contract this week? No. Think he'll get one next week then? When do you think it'll come? Maybe next week, the week after? Will they wait until the end of the preseason? Well, the regular season's here. Are they going to give him a contract now or are they going to wait? That storyline is going to be hanging over camp for a while. Talked with Ray about the Kevin Colbert contract situation. Ray Fittipaldi on the last segment. Kevin Colbert has done a really good job here for a really long time. And here's how I look at it. He's given them players to succeed with. Sometimes those players have been allowed to go rogue. That's the problem. But that doesn't mean he's not bringing in talent. Going into last year, there were Super Bowl expectations for this team. And as the GM, president of operations, whatever Kevin's title is now, he's in charge of bringing in the players. And to me, I mean, he has his faults. Cornerback, certainly one of them. But they identify a lot of other positions really well. And when you go into most seasons with Super Bowl aspirations, that means the guy putting the players on the field has done his job. Then it falls to the guy who's got to coach them up, keep them in line, manage the clock properly, not overstep his bounds with his coordinators and call plays, like I think is happening on the defense. So much more of this to me is Mike Tomlin. We'll talk about more of what's going into camp here as well, contract-wise. When it's not like it is this year, the big talk is usually the players that are up for extensions. Going into that last year, the deal, Joe Hayden's the big one. And like I said, Kevin Colbert, as much as I like what he's done, cornerback has been, a disaster. I don't think he's putting it, I'm not talking out of school here, going over the top. Has not been pretty. And you got a guy like Joe Hayden that fell into your lap. But are you going to pay him a ton of money? He turned 30 in April. But here's the problem. What are you going to do if you don't sign him? And Joe Hayden seems like a smart guy to me. He knows that. Joe Hayden's going to get paid. Or he's going to go into free agency and find money there. But to me, they don't have options. I don't like the depth at cornerback. I don't like paying him a long-term deal with a ton of money at age 30. But that's the situation they find themselves in because they haven't been able to find other cornerbacks and build depth behind him. So when a guy gets old and you want to cut ties, you can. They can't. They're probably going to have to sign Joe Hayden. Their only hope is they can convince him to take something that is at least a little friendly on their end. But if I'm Joe Hayden, I'm going and getting paid. They need him. He knows it. Like I said, he's a smart guy. The other storylines, as Ray laid out for us going into camp, the balance of the offense is one that I didn't get a chance to talk to Ray about, but it makes a ton of sense. Ben threw the ball 675 times last season. That's 36 more attempts than anybody else in the league. That's crazy. And Ben's not the quarterback he used to be. And now going into this year, he doesn't have the weapons that he used to. I think they're going to be fine offensively. But if you want to run that sort of offense, you need Antonio Brown and you need Le'Veon Bell. And they don't have those guys. Now, do they have the stud running back in James Conner that you want to give the ball a ton to? Do you trust the other guys behind him? We've heard Mike Tomlin is more open this year to a split and not just running a guy into the ground like he did in the past with Le'Veon Bell. That, to me, I agree with Ray's probably got to change. You got to find some sort of balance there, not just between run pass. You got to find a balance for your running backs as well, and don't just kill one guy. Again, that sort of comes back on Tomlin. We want to take your calls, 412-928-9370. Craig Riley in for Paul Zeiss. Talking about the Steelers getting ready for camp. It's not far off. Get your thoughts and your expectations going into camp. That's what I want to talk about next. Expectations now for this team. We've talked about what needs to happen in camp. What happens once they break camp? What's this team capable of? I mean, the Browns, they're the pick du jour. Everybody loves the Browns right now. Hold your horses. It's the Browns. That's where I land on them still. So we'll take your calls, 412-928-9370 on the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, and expectations heading into the season. Craig Riley in for Paul Zeiss. All that's still to come here on The Fan. Craig Riley trying my hardest to live up to the expectations of the Paul Zeiss show here on The Fan. Can tell you only a few foursomes left for the rescheduled Fan Open on Thursday, July 25th at Manor Valley Golf Course. Visit 937thefan.com to get yours today before we sell out. It's brought to you by Bowser Chevrolet, Coors Light, Peace, Love, and Little Donuts, Jigger's Pub in Penn Murray. So guys have gotten in trouble on the air before for promising things that we can't deliver on as a station. So I'm not going to do that. But I know at the last Fan Open that got rained out, Paul Zeiss was trying to catch people's drives with a baseball glove and took one right off the face. Had a golf ball-sized welt under his eye. So I can't promise you that he'll take a second shot at that, but these are the type of things you can expect when you go to that event. So maybe you're not a great golfer. Maybe you just like to golf casually. I mean, still come out. There's plenty of fun to be had. And you can maybe take a drive or two at Paul Zeiss. So depending on when you listen to this show, how you feel about Paul, there's a chance he might miss one because the welt under his eye was legit. That thing was nasty. Like I said, Craig Riley filling in for Paul Zeiss. Last segment, we talked about expectations for the Steelers camp. Very close. And to me, it's all about Mike Tomlin's contract. That'll be the one storyline that trumps all until it gets figured out. And for me, I'm not figuring it out. I'm in no hurry. Wait a year. See what he does. Worst case scenario for the Steelers, he has a great year and he cost them a little more money than he would if they signed him now. That's a great problem to have. Take your calls, 412-928-9370. We got to Munhall and Tom.
Hey, Craig. How you doing there?
Good.
I've always been in Tomlin's corner until really the last, 3 years. Because, I thought, obviously his got a couple Super Bowls early on. We won one. He's had a winning record. All the things that he's done a really good job. No scandals, no, different issues. But then when the team got really good, I said, okay, this is where Tomlin's – let's just see what he's all about. Let's see him put this together. Let's see him win the championship. And, really, he and not just him, but also the general manager, they really failed. And where they failed is they didn't put a premium on the cornerbacks in the secondary. And I'm going back to when we played New England back in the AFC Championship at New England. I think that was, 3 or 4 years ago? That's where the problem started. I mean, if you look at Belichick realizes that the cornerbacks in the NFL, that's not something you want to have like a rookie or a 1 or 2 year person. You got to get seasoned talent. That's why he went out and got Darrelle Revis. He got Talib Kweli. He got Gilmore. Okay. And I think Tomlin, they really blew it when they didn't solidify the secondary in a pass happy game. And the other problem with Mike, that I lost a lot of faith in him, is he was supposed to be, his number one strength was player relations. and getting along and keeping things smooth and keeping everybody focused. And of course, that blew up with Antonio, with Le'Veon, with James Harrison and other issues. So, no, I don't think they should sign him to a contract. I should see let him play out this year and see what he produces. And if he's not meeting expectations, move on. And I also don't think we're going back to a Super Bowl, mainly because of not only Tomlin, but I don't think Ben is playing at the caliber. He's too much of a gunslinger in critical situations. Going back to the Jacksonville playoff game, he made some really egregious decisions. Against New England, he made bad decisions, and I just don't think Ben has it to get us all the way. That's all I got to say.
Well, Tom, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it, and a very good call. I mean, people warned me about hosting the Paul Zeiss show, like, hey, you got to be ready for the calls you're going to get. I mean, you get later in the night, and we're not at that point yet. Things start to maybe turn. So far, so good, actually. That was a good call by Tom. Some things I want to break down there that he said. Is comparing the Steelers and Patriots, and he said where the Steelers have failed is addressing the secondary, and he used the Patriots as sort of the gold standard of recognizing that you got to go out and just get the guys that can play the position. I mean, you remember what they did with Malcolm Butler? And they're able to do things like that because they have what I said they don't and why they need to sign Joe Hayden. They don't have anybody to replace them. They don't have a next man up. The standard is not the standard at cornerback. They have like one good guy right now that I trust. Joe Hayden goes down. I have no idea what you're going to get out of that secondary, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be good. So yeah, I agree that that has been a big failure for them. I said in the last segment that I love Kevin Colbert and the job he has done, but even I recognize that what they have acquired at cornerback under him has not been up to the standard, as Mike Tomlin would tell you. So they got work they got to do on that front. And the big thing I agree with Tom said that Mike Tomlin's supposed to be this player-friendly coach, able to manage all these personalities, keep everybody in line, not let anybody get too big, bigger than the team. You have your divas. He can work with them. That's what he's here for. We'll be fine. Yeah, that ain't happening. That's a bit of a problem, and that's a big concern. So that's why I stand where I stand. Tomlin's got 2 years. He's not going into a lame duck year. He's not coaching for his job, which honestly I don't think would be the worst thing. Put a little pressure on him this year. And you know what? If he crumbles under the pressure, then you don't want to give him a contract extension anyways. So what? A little bit of pressure. This guy's won a Super Bowl. I think he can deal with a little bit of pressure if he feels it because they didn't give him an extension with 2 years left. I'm going to wait. Wait and see, Mike. And best case scenario for Mike, he exceeds expectations, gets paid. One way or the other, if the Steelers wait, they get a clear picture of whether or not they want to re-sign this guy. That's where I am on him. Keep taking your calls, 412-928-9370. We got Noah in Canton.
Hello?
Hello, Noah.
Yeah, hey, Kriggers. First-time caller, long-time listener, big fan of you. I mean, I like Dan Zangrilli a little bit more on the pregame, but I'm still a big fan of yours. I figured I'd call in. Saw you talking Steelers. The storylines going into camp, I agree. What you talked about with Ray is definitely the biggest one. But I think one that you're forgetting is the question about aggression from both the front office and the coaching staff this year. With the contract situation with Tomlin, do you feel that he's going to be more aggressive with the way he intervenes with the coaching staff? Do you feel like that added pressure that you just talked about is going to affect his coaching decisions? And with Colbert, near the end possibly of his career or his contract, do you see him being more aggressive at the trade deadline or any time before that? They've made moves during camp, getting guys like Joe Hayden. Do you see them doing this again?
Well, Noah, thanks for the call. And shame on me, I didn't realize that was one of our Pirates producers, Noah. And it said from Canton, and I thought, like, oh, somebody from Canton's calling in. Just moved out to Canton. I didn't realize that. So taking shots at me at the beginning, well done. As for the aggressiveness, I mean, Tomlin's going to do anything he can to save his job. He's going to have to if he doesn't have an extension going into camp or coming out of camp. But the problem is, if they give him that extension, what's he have to worry about? The Steelers don't get rid of coaches, and that's one of my concerns. If you give him a contract now, a contract extension, you give it to him now, what if nothing changes? What if they fail again next year? You're not going to get rid of him. One, you just signed him to an extension. there's money tied to that for X number of years and then paying somebody else, which, like I said, I don't care about. It's their money, not mine. But the other thing is, they're not going to make themselves look foolish. This is the Steelers. They don't screw up when it comes to head coaches. So if they give Mike Tomlin a contract now and he fails, you're stuck with him. That's it. They're not going to get rid of him. They don't fail when it comes to coaches. That's why I wait. I'm not going to make that mistake. If they want to make it, then buyer beware. But I'm holding out. He's got 2 years, not one. You don't have to make the move now. Keep taking your calls, 412-928-9370. I mean, I know I'm painting a pretty bleak picture for Steeler fans here. I got good news for you in the next segment. We'll keep talking about that and take your calls. There's also an article that I saw talking about fluid fans. Supposedly this generation of fans, more than any, jumps from team to team. They don't stick with one team that's their team, ride or die, love them to the end. That's so good news. If they sign Mike Tomlin and you hate him, just pick another team, apparently. I'll tell you how I feel about that.